It's time for Green Visions, a KUMD production to encourage green thinking and green actions. Green Visions is made possible by the family-owned Duluth Grill. Dale Bergeron is on the line with us this morning. He's a maritime extension educator with Minnesota Sea Grant, and he moderated a panel earlier this summer, the Great Lakes Crude Move Oil Transportation Symposium, a first-of-its-kind symposium. The United States and Canadian governments got together, and basically they were talking about moving oil across the Great Lakes. Hey, Dale, thanks so much for joining us this morning.
It's good to be here.
Nice to have you on the line. So they talked about how crude oil is moved. They talked about economics. They talked about the oil industry. And they also didn't shy away at all from hazards and risk, emergency response, and lessons learned from previous oil spills, including the New Horizon oil rig explosion in the Gulf of Mexico. What was that conversation like? It isn't surprising that the symposium dealt with it head on.
Well, again, you just framed a massive question. There's a lot of players involved. There are a lot of issues involved. It crosses over the social, environmental, and economic systems that support us in the Great Lakes Basin. And so trying to understand it with a global perspective, when I say that, I mean across many levels, many scales, many governmental systems, it's very complicated. And so what we did was we wanted to bring everybody together at the same time, and we wanted to look in a fairly discrete geographic region. And so the Great Lakes watershed, or the Great Lakes Basin, is a great place to take a snapshot of what's going on. Plus, the impacts of crude oil movement and crude oil use in general are really important to the Great Lakes. Freshwater issues and oil are not well understood, not as well as what goes on in the ocean. And so that's what we were trying to do, and we brought people together that frequently wouldn't get together. So we had people from the Wildlife Federation being able to sit down and talk directly to a senior vice president from Enbridge Corporation, and we had people that insure Enbridge, for example, against loss, presenting to the group and talking to the group about how they evaluate security and risk in terms of dealing with indemnification of potential loss from oil pipelines. And so we had governments who were looking at what's my liability, but what's my responsibility as part of a federation, which is what the United States is. And we have these state compacts and international treaty laws that tie us together in very complicated ways.
It is, obviously, and of course, the more you learn about it, the more you realize that it is complicated. There are a lot of levels to this. Forbes magazine said, pipelines, the worst way to move oil except all the rest. Does it seem as though all of the ways of moving crude oil have some kind of significant downside?
Well, I think that really goes without saying. When you woke up this morning, you took a risk. When you stepped out of bed and moved onto the shower where you might slip and jumped into your car where you might be in an accident, et cetera, et cetera. And there's no difference when you're moving basic commodities within a complex system. So when you're moving crude oil, pipelines are clearly the most efficient, safest way to move oil, but doesn't make you feel particularly good because there's still risk involved. But the reality is we don't live in Disneyland, and there's risk in everything we do. And so understanding the risk and understanding the alternatives are extremely important. And that's what we wanted to discuss, because in a modern society, the phrase just say no doesn't work. Because then what? For example, there's no social justice if I increase the cost of mobility and transportation because I choose choose to limit the ability of oil refineries to get oil, or I increase the risk to the United States of exposure to foreign markets because I don't use domestic oil. And even foreign oil will still be transported from somewhere to the refineries and then retransported within a complex system of pipelines, trucks, rail, and ships around the United States. So this is really complicated. And what we want to do is we want to remember that this is like dealing with a Rubik's Cube. You know, you could quickly turn all the red squares to one side and be absolutely certain that the rest of the cube is completely screwed up. You have to work in a state of grace. You have to understand the whole thing. You have to embrace all of the complexity and have serious discussions about trade-offs, who's responsible for what, who bears risk and why, what is the social impact on everything from infrastructure to mobility to general opportunity, and who does it impact? That's the big issue.
You said that since the conference in June that there have been some new developments and some new information, some new conversations taking place. Can you tell us about that a little bit?
Sure. I think people want to understand more about transportation and mobility. The Canadian Fraser Institute, for example, came out with a paper called Safety First, Intermodal Safety for Oil and Gas Transportation, and talking about pipelines and rail in particular, which is, there have been some horrendous accidents with rail, of course, and also understanding a little more about Line 5 that goes under the Straits of Mackinac. A report came out on that particular section of pipeline and what the risks are. And so there were a lot of surprises in those. I won't go into them because they're quite detailed, but they're available online. You can take a look and find out more. But the bottom line is that there's a demand and there's a supply, and it's being knit together. And we can either make really well-informed choices that are sometimes very difficult and do involve risk and hazard, or we can try to ignore that and let it just happen, which is not a good idea. Or we can make foolish choices, which would be even worse, and they make us feel good in the short run, but the oil then moves in less controlled ways, maybe on rail or even in trucks. And so we've seen that kind of thing happen, for example, in Green Bay, where even a very small pipeline, an 8-inch pipeline, was taken out of service and caused a crisis for the Upper Peninsula in terms of fuel. And this was not a crude oil pipeline. This was a finished products pipeline bringing gas and diesel. So, again, you know, we have to make every problem as simple as it can be, but no simpler. We have to be very cautious about how we consider the impacts and most importantly, what is the social justice? How is it going to tumble out and impact different segments of our society? And how is it going to impact the long-term environmental integrity that we're going to deal with for generations? And so, again, there are no simple solutions. And maybe the one thing you can be sure of is that if it fits on a bumper sticker, it's probably too simple.
Yeah. I think that you phrased that beautifully, Dale. Thank you so much for joining us this morning. Looking forward to having additional conversations with you on this topic and others as time goes on.
Thank you.
Thanks, Dale. Dale Bergeron joined us this morning as our guest on Green Visions. He is a maritime extension educator and was the panel moderator for the first of its kind Great Lakes Crude Move Oil Transportation Symposium in June. Green Visions on KUMD is made possible in part by the family-owned Duluth Grill, offering organic, homemade, and fair trade menu items, and Heritage Window and Door, the Twin Ports supplier for Renewal by Anderson Windows and Doors.